S. And don't forget to leave off that last S, because that's the S for savings.
At Rubbermaid, we know everyone needs their space.
Mom, I've been thinking, I need my space. So if you can't be more cooperative, I may have to move out.
So we designed the Rubbermaid Keeper line.
Why are you packing my clothes?
A colorful collection of storage boxes and household organizers.
You're packing my bunny slippers?
And Rubbermaid Keepers come in a variety of shapes and sizes to help you put almost anything...
Not my music.
...in its place.
Mom, I've been thinking I don't need that much space. Thanks, Mom.
Don't you wish everything was made?
Mom, I've been thinking.
Like Rubbermaid?
Pete Fornatel back with you on the Sunday Show, and this Friday is Valentine's Day 1992. So to get you ready, to get you prepared, here are some songs figuratively and literally about love at 92.3 K-Rock.
Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, la 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 la. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, la 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 la. Page 498. Love. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, la 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 la. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, la 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 la. Five meanings are given. One, love, a feeling of strong personal attachment, induced by sympathetic understanding, or by ties of kinship. Ardent affection.
Two, strong liking for, feeling fondness, having goodwill.
As love of learning, as in love of country, as in love of country. Sex. For Cupid or Eros, as the god of love, sometimes Venus. Five, tennis. Love in tennis means no points scored, and you have nothing, and you have nothing. Hate. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, la 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 la. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, la 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 la. Five meanings of love. Love.
Thank you. 'cause I'm just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals without love. Love suffers long, love is kind, enduring all things, hoping all things. Love has no evil in mind. Gift of prophecy and all knowledge and the faith to move the mountains. Even if I understood all of the mysteries, if I didn't have love, I'd be nothing. Not puffed up, warriors or touchy. Because it rejoices in the truth, not in iniquity. Love sees like a child sees. As a child, I spoke as a child, I thought and I understood as a child. But when I became a woman, I put away childish things and began to see through a glass darkly. Now I only know it in part. Fractions in me of faith and hope and love. And of these great three,
I can hear her heartbeat from a thousand miles. Yeah, the heavens open every time she smiles. And when I come to her, that's where I belong. Yet I run into her like a river song. She gave me love, love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She got a fine sense of humor when I'm feeling low down. Yeah, when I come to her, when the sun goes down. Take away my trouble, take away my grief. Take away my heartache, and I got it like a thief. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. She gave me love, 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 crazy love. Yeah, I need her in the daytime. Yeah, I need her in the night.
I need her.
Yeah, I wanna throw my arms around her.
I need her.
and kiss and hug her, kiss and hug her tight. Yeah, when I'm returning from so far away, she gave me some sweet loving, brighten up my day. Yeah, and it make me righteous, yeah, and it make me whole. Yeah, it make me mellow down into my soul. She gave me love, crazy love. She gave me love, crazy love. She gave me love, crazy.
Classic Rock, K-Rock.
Song music marathons mean the most music on 92.3 K-Rock, WXRK New York, Howard Stern all morning, classic rock and roll all day.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly into the line of a dark black night. Blackbird, fly. of a dark black night. For this moment to arise, you are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise.
Hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. And one day his woman ran off with another guy, hit young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that, he said, I'm gonna get that boy. So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room, Gideon's Bible. Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival. His rival, it seems, had broken his dream by stealing the girl of his fancy. And she called herself Lil, but everyone knew her as Nancy. Now she and her man, who called himself Dan, were in the next room at the hoedown.
He drew fast and sharp, and Rocky collapsed in the corner. Proceeded to lie on the table. He said, Rocky, you met your match. And Rocky said, Doc, it's only a scratch. And I'll be better, Doc, as soon as I am able. And now Rocky Raccoon, he fell back in his room, only to find Gideon's Bible.
Paul McCartney on 92.3 K-Rock, and you're listening to New York's grooviest station.
At 92.3 K-Rock, that was Paul McCartney, folk singer, this hour with some Beatle classics on the 28th anniversary of their first appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show. It's also Carole King's 50th birthday today, and we'll begin our celebration of the most prolific woman in rock and roll history after these words.
If you live in the New York area and you're on the way to sunny Florida, Value Rent-A-Car's got some great news for you. Value's We Love New Yorkers special vacation rates. You see, here in Florida, we love New Yorkers. Yeah! In fact, if you show us your New York area driver's license, we got a weekly rate that'll knock your socks off. Listen, Pally, Value will rent you a Mitsubishi Mirage for as low as $64.95 a week.
Come on! That ain't a lot of smackers, and that includes all the mileage you want. I tell you, when we get into our New York ding, we totally get into our New York ding. All you gotta do is be a New York area resident, and bada bing, bada bam, you get the rate. So grab the kids, the little woman, and the phone, and call your travel agent or 1-800-GO-VALUE. It's for New Yorkers only, capiche?
Value offers similar savings in Las Vegas and Denver. Optional LDW, $9 or less per day. Other important restrictions apply. Call your travel agent or 1-800-GO-VALUE.
You got it, Pally?
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the comedy stylings of Buddy LaRue!
How are you? I just flew in, and boy, am I on fire! So my wife sends me shopping and says, get tuna fish. So I ask her, how do you tune a fish? Did you ever have those problems with curling faxes? I mean, how do you copy them? How do you read them? It's like trying to read linguine. That's why I got me a Brother ACS Series fax machine. You see, ACS stands for Anti-Curl System, and that makes all my faxes flat and easy to read, and they even use standard fax paper. In fact, you might say you can use Brother ACS Series fax machines to get the fax straight. Get it? Fax straight. Straight faxes get the fax straight. Thank you. I love you. You're beautiful.
Available at Staples, J&R Music World, and Nobody Beats the Wiz.
You've got to make the choice to share your heart and voice.
Hello?
Marion, I'm sorry to call so late, but...
Okay.
Well, Andrew's not home yet. Has he dropped Allison off?
No, but I'm sure they'll be home soon.
Oh, dear, he said by 12.
Well, so it's not 12 yet.
I guess I'm just a warrior.
Well, don't be. They'll be home on time.
Yeah, well, how can you be so sure?
Simple. I called Allison at the party to remind her.
Marion!
Kim, it's on again, 9 o'clock.
Great, I'll be watching.
You've got to make the choice to share your heart and voice.
Hi.
I can't believe I cried again.
Me too. How many times have we seen this movie?
Sweet, but you call to remind me it's on every time.
And you call me afterward.
Talk about predictable, huh?
Okay, next time you remind me and I'll call you after.
Okay.
We're all connected through your telephone.
A Ninex company.
Big East basketball glasses are back again, and now they're 10. You get one free every time you fill up with 8 gallons or more of Getty Premium or Plus Grade gasoline at participating dealers. This offer not available in New Jersey, but the glass can be purchased at a suggested retail price of 49 cents plus tax where applicable. That's right, 10 great teams, 10 great glasses, including the new University of Miami glass, a new St. John's logo on its glass, plus Boston College, Providence, Villanova, the University of Pittsburgh, Seton Hall, Connecticut, Syracuse, and Georgetown. Each glass comes with its own colorful college insignia. You'll want to collect the complete set. And remember, Getty gasolines feature deep cleaning DV2 for smoother starts and greater performance. So stop by your participating Getty dealer now. Fill up with 8 gallons or more of Getty Premium or Plus Grade gasoline and start collecting your Big East basketball glasses. Offer for a limited time while supplies last. Limit one per visit. Plus Grade gasoline not available at all stations. Only at Getty, the value leader in fine gasolines and more.
92.3 K-Rock wants to put you in the second row to see Rod Stewart live in Los Angeles for Valentine's Day. Our trip for two includes airfare, hotel, transportation to and from the concert, and lots more, including those second row seats. We'll take a random caller right now at 212-955-9292 to win a Rod Stewart Vagabond Heart CD, T-shirt, and poster, and be eligible for the grand prize trip or one of 10 runner-up prizes on the Rod Stewart Storyteller Box Set. Grand prize announced Monday on the Dave Herman Rock and Roll Afternoon Show. You must be 21 or older to win the trip. And listen all weekend for more chances to win on the classic rock station, 92.3 K-Rock.
to be so easy living here with you. You were light and breezy, and I knew just what to do. Now you look so unhappy, and I feel like a fool. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try to make it, something inside has died, and I can't hide, and I just can't fake it.
The most successful albums in the history of popular music, Tapestry. My special guest, Carol King, and It's Too Late. Are you comfortable hearing your older material, Carol?
Very.
You still can you place yourself back to what was going on in your life when it was either being created or successful?
Absolutely.
Tell me about that song, then. Where did that come from?
Well, that song, the lyric was written by a woman named Toni Stern, and so it came from her, although it's something that everyone has felt. I guess that's what made it such a big hit. But I was in California at that time. They had just moved to California. So I can visualize the eucalyptus trees, Southern California, Los Angeles, the eucalyptus trees and my little house in Laurel Canyon.
All those pictures come flashing back in focus. You had done other work as a performer before the Tapestry album. There was the trio The City.
Yes.
And there was the Writer album, both modestly successful at best. All of a sudden came this record, and it went through the roof. With some hindsight now, why do you think that happened? Why was Tapestry so successful?
Frankly, Pete, I've had years to think about that, and all the hindsight in the world hasn't given me the answer, and I think if I ever really did figure it out, I could probably also figure out how to cure cancer.
Well, and if you did, of course, you'd have repeated it every time out since, you know?
Maybe, yes.
Maybe there's an element of timing to it that the artist just simply has no control over whatsoever.
I'm virtually certain that's the case, because through the years, when I was a writer in the 10 or so years, 11 years before Tapestry hit, I was basically a songwriter. When Tapestry came and I was performing, even the two albums before that, I was still basically a songwriter, and still basically doing the same thing, that is writing a song, putting it on a demo to submit to the artist. And that was, you know, sort of a three-step thing: write the song, put it on demo, artist record. by the time we got to the city and Writer and Tapestry, the last step was consolidated into the second step. That is, I was the artist that recorded. But to me, I always saw them as presentations of my songs. And since Tapestry, I've made a string of albums, some of which have been well-received, some of which have been not well-received, and some of which haven't even been heard of.
Yeah.
I was still doing the same thing. And it was a function of the record company and where they were, and a function of the people and the market, and that people were really needing to hear what I was saying, and that through a fluke of circumstances, it got right to them.
Yeah. Well, let's take it back to the earliest days. You started out with a monster hit in 1960 for the Shirelles. Tell me about that song and that experience.
Actually, you say started out. We started out, actually, with a series of monster flops before we got to Will You Love Me Tomorrow. But Jerry Goffin, who wrote the words to that, and my longtime writing partner, he wrote the words to Speeding Time, and we have written together through the years. At the time, we were married, and we had Louise, who is an artist in her own right now. And Jerry was working as a chemist, trying to keep the family afloat. And when Will You Love Me Tomorrow hit and started to take off to the extent that it did, that, of course, gave us the economic freedom so that he could quit his job as a chemist and devote his time full-time to lyric writing.
Yeah.
So that was a big thrill, and the thrill of hearing it on the radio all the time. And I worked on the arrangement with the fellow that produced the record, too, and hearing my string arrangement coming on the air. And I think I played piano on it, too.
Now, that was a number one song.
Yeah.
What does that experience change after it happens the second time or the third time or the 15th time in your case? Do you still relate to it with
of
the
having a number one song?
Yeah.
It's never the first time again. It's always exciting, but it's never the first time again.
So that's why I guess the Shirelles record will always retain a special place for you?
Yes, and also I think it's one of the most recorded songs ever. I mean, it's been recorded by, I think, at least 100 artists,
yeah,
which is very gratifying to me because, again, as a songwriter, my joy is greater in hearing somebody else's interpretation of a song, because my interpretation is always there. I always do the demo or the presentation, and I have the joy of doing that. But then to hear, you know, how another artist does it and the dimension they bring to it is exciting. And the epitome of that to me was Aretha Franklin doing Natural Woman.
Oh, yeah.
What a thrill. I mean, that woman can sing.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you,
another song from that period was Take Good Care of My Baby.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that one, looking back?
I can't really answer how I feel, but in the terms of song association, right, you know, free association, Take Good Care of My Baby, what do I think of? I think about Bobby V, who recorded it. I think about the days in 1650 Broadway, which was similar to the Brill Building. And Don Kirshner, our publisher, would say, well, here's this hit record, and we want to get the next hit record for this artist. So all his writing teams, including Jerry Goffin and myself, would go into the little cubicle and rack our brains and try to analyze what was the element that made that record a hit and try to duplicate it but make a new song out of it. And I remember writing, we wrote Take Good Care of My Baby. I don't remember how we led up to writing it, but I remember after that was a hit, we wanted to do it again. So we wrote It Might As Well Rain Until September for Bobby V, and the demo that we did eventually became my first release as a performing artist.
That's right. That's right. I remember that. And, of course, it came back in the soundtrack of American Graffiti, I think.
Yeah.
They used it
yeah.
there. I have heard this next story from many different sources and in many different places, but never from you. Would you mind telling the Locomotion story?
Oh, yes. The Locomotion story. Little Eva was our babysitter. And she took care of little Louise, who grew up to be this really fine singer. And the story that little Eva was, you know, pushing a broom around and singing, and we said, stop, stop, we must record that fabulous voice. That is not true. That's one of those publicity-type myths. The truth is that we knew she could sing when we hired her, and we, you know, figured that one of these days we'd get around to letting her sing on some demos because she was really good. And Locomotion, I think was a demo for Dee Dee Sharp.
Wow.
So another single out of a demo.
Little Eva, and the first go-around for Locomotion. There was, of course, a second go-around. Were you surprised by that one, Carol?
Yeah, I thought that was great. Grand Funk did it, and I liked the remake very much. And when it went to number one again, that was a pleasant surprise.
Did you know about that before the fact? How does one find out so many years later that that one of their children, so to speak, is being given a new life, a new lease on life?
One found out when it went on the charts.
Is that it?
Yes, and you're right. The songs are exactly that. They're like children.
All right.
People ask me sometimes which is my favorite, and it is hard to say sometimes because of that.
Another record that had the same honor as Locomotion in being number one twice was Go Away, Little Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that's, the original was early 60s, right?
Yeah, that was by Steve Lawrence.
Song Association, Go Away, Little Girl.
Ah. That, I'm really drawing a blank on that one. I've got a story.
All right.
I remember we went to the session where they were recording that, and before they recorded Go Away, Little Girl, they recorded Portrait of My Love, which also was a big hit for Steve Lawrence. And in those days, you recorded everything all at once. You didn't have tracking and overdubbing. In fact, I think it was even monaural.
Sure.
So I remember being in the studio, and there was this huge room full of an orchestra, you know, hundreds of musicians, string players, horn players, and Steve Lawrence was singing live, you know, "There could never be a portrait of my love." And they went through the whole song, and Steve Lawrence gave a brilliant performance, except towards the very end, one of the horn players played such a bad clam that it was just impossible.
Ooh.
And they, you know, they finished the take anyway, and when it was finished, they all tried to figure out if there was any way around it, but it was so blatant and so bad that they had to do the whole thing again. Do you know that those people were so professional, especially Steve, that he did an equally, if not more, brilliant performance, and that one was perfect, and that was the record.
That's great. You know, a lot of people from your group at that time got left behind when the English invasion came along, but you did not. I mean, not only did the Beatles honor you with a recording of Goffin King material, but also Herman's Hermits showed up with this top 10 record, one of yours. How did that happen?
I don't really know how they got it. I think our publisher had an office over in London, and so when the British invasion happened, I think we were prepared. But that was very rewarding, too, because, frankly, we were kind of intimidated by the British invasion. The quality of the songs was so good, even though it was they were simple, they were raw, but the energy level was so high, and there really was no way you could copy that or capture that or emulate that. We just sort of, you know, Jerry and I sort of wondered how we were going to deal with this. Also, they were self-contained. They didn't need writers. They were writers.
Was there an incident that sparked that particular song? Do you recall?
Which song?
I'm Into Something Good.
Oh, no, I don't think so. That one, I don't really remember anything special on that.
It was a perfect match, of course, for the personality and identity of the group. I'm going to ask you, jumping ahead a little bit, to another very special song of yours. Your version appears on the Tapestry album, but the hit record was by a friend of yours, James Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
And that, of course, is You've Got a Friend.
That song was written, a lot of people associated with James and, you know, assume that I wrote it for James. That song was written through me, not so much by me. In other words, I sat down at the piano one day and had my hands on the keys ready to idle around, and I sort of watched the song happen right out of my hands and my mouth, and I was afraid I wasn't going to, I didn't want to stop because it was really flowing, and I was afraid if I didn't I wouldn't remember it, but somehow miraculously I did, and it was just a question of fine-tuning it and polishing and writing an extra verse here and there, but it was really inspired. Yes. And when James did it, it was a surprise to me. I think Peter Asher and James surprised me with presenting me with the record. I had no idea they were cutting it.
But I've heard that description that you just gave before, where an artist really feels like the instrument in someone else's plan.
The big songwriter in the sky.
But it's nice to know, especially, that a song like that, with so much to offer to so many, had that kind of beginnings.
Trouble, and you need a helping hand, and nothing, oh, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yeah, baby, see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. Just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, yeah, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend? People can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. Just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, see you again. Oh, baby, don't you know about winter, spring, summer, or fall? Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh, yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
I could not let you out of here without asking about yet another song of yours that keeps coming back and coming back and coming back because it is so good. I'd like to take it back to the original version by the Drifters. What can you tell us about Up on the Roof?
Well, for one thing, that's another one that James, of course, did, Up on the Roof. The song was written, that's a Jerry Goffin lyric, too, because we were both thinking about a secret place, some place where you can go and escape in the city, and of course where I live now in Idaho. It's a little different situation, but in New York there's very few places you can go to be alone, not around people, and Up on the Roof is of course one of the places.
Certainly is.
Up on the roof, up on the roof. When this the world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof is peaceful as can be, below can bother me.
fresh and sweet.
On the roof.
I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street. On the roof, the only place I know. Telling you right smack dab in the middle of town, I found a paradise that's trouble-proof. And if this world starts getting you down, there's room enough for two up on the roof. Up on
at 92.3 K-Rock, we'll have more with Carole King right after these messages.
Right after the Howard Stern Show, it's Classic Rock.
Are you reeling in the year?
And Classic Jocks.
This is Jimmy Fink on the weekend.
Lock your radio in all day to the Classic Rock station, 92.3 K-Rock.
When I heard about Lilco's new refrigerator rebate program, it made me wonder just how much it cost to run my refrigerator. So I called the people at Lilco. Well, they said the old refrigerator I just replaced used a lot of electricity, about 75 cents worth each day. It turns out my refrigerator uses more electricity than any other appliance in my home. My new energy-efficient refrigerator cost about half as much to operate. Plus, because my new unit conserves electricity, Lilco gave me a cash rebate of $120. It's a good deal. I'm saving money, and because I'm conserving energy, I'm helping preserve the environment.
If you'd like more information about cash rebates for energy-efficient refrigerators or any of Lilco's other energy conservation programs, call us at 800-692-2626. That's 800-692-2626. The people at Lilco, working harder to serve you better.
You know what you want, the pure natural taste of Budweiser, the ice-cold king of beers that's like you, like no other. Pretty cool, huh?
Nothing beats a Bud.
Anheuser-Busch, yeah. St. Louis, Missouri.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. In fact, the average family of four spends almost $2,500 a year dining out. Luckily, your Discover card is welcome at all kinds of restaurants, so all those meals can earn cash back, up to 1% yearly based on annual purchases. And if you're going out to eat, why not get your just desserts? It pays to Discover, the card that pays you back.
Hi, I'm Dick Clark. I'm real happy to be part of the 100th birthday celebration for Nabisco Shredded Wheat. To make it special, Shredded Wheat is giving presents instead of getting them. They're putting $1 million worth of $100 mail-in certificates inside their boxes. This could be your day to win a $100 present.
No purchase necessary. To enter and for sweepstakes rules, see marked boxes of Nabisco Shredded Wheat. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 or over. Certificate must be redeemed by December 31st, 1992.
Hey, don't miss out.
92.3 K-Rock is classic rock.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about in your long and distinguished career is whether or not you realized that you were pioneering a place for women in rock and roll that went beyond the stereotype of the girl group, quote.
You have been right inside my head with some of your questions. It's interesting. That is exactly correct, that I did not realize. And I have been surprised when women tell me, oh, you've done such wonderful things. You're a pioneer. You're the first woman ever to give a downbeat. And I never really thought about it. I was brought up by my parents to be a can-do person. And nobody ever told me that I couldn't do anything because I was a woman and I was good at what I did and I worked hard to be good at what I did. And I guess the men and women that I worked with caught that energy and the confidence and the enthusiasm, and nobody ever gave me any flack about it because I was a woman.
And it certainly paved the way for so many, though.
Well, I'm really glad
in your way. Are your memories of the Brill Building days likely to be happy ones more often than not?
Yes, they are. It wasn't happy, peaceful. It was happy, frantic. But it was a very productive period. I like to work. I like the result of work. I like the joy of working, the creation, the work itself. So it was a very happy period.
And did you get through it unscathed, or did you have to learn lessons the hard way, as a lot of newcomers to the business do? I'm talking specifically about contract problems or publishing arrangements or anything like that. Were you savvy at that stuff, too?
I wasn't savvy at all, and I guess we had a couple of experiences. Someone along the way tried to rip us off for something somewhere along the way, but those things really didn't scathe me until later, until I was a performing artist and I had to deal with a lot more. And plus the success of Tapestry, when something is successful, you attract a lot of attention, both good and bad. But in the publishing days, it was pretty much fairly innocent.
Are you a musician for life?
I think so.
A lifer?
I think so.
My life has been a tapestry of rich and royal hue, everlasting vision of the ever-changing view, a wondrous woven magic in bits of blue and gold, a tapestry to feel and see, impossible to hold. Once amid the soft silver sadness in the sky, there came a man of fortune, a drifter passing by. He wore a torn and tattered cloth around his leathered hide, and a coat of many colors, yellow, green on either side. He moved with some uncertainty, as if he didn't know just what he was there for or where he ought to go. Once he reached for something golden hanging from a tree, and his hand came down empty. Soon within my tapestry along the rutted road, someone's wicked spell, and I wept to see him suffer, though I didn't know him well. As I watched in sorrow, there suddenly appeared a figure gray and ghostly beneath the flowing beard. In times of deepest darkness, I've seen him dressed in black.
At 92.3 K-Rock, that wraps up our 50th birthday visit with Carole King. My thanks to John Platt and Don McGee for putting it all together. This is Pete Fornital. Please join me Monday through Friday in the midday on the only station you'll need in 1992, the classic rock station, 92.3 K-Rock.
Song music marathons mean the most music on 92.3 K-Rock, WXRK New York, Howard Stern all morning, classic rock and roll all day.